Good day, and welcome to the Oriental Aromatics Limited's Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sonpal.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Oriental Aromatics Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mr. Dharmil Bhutani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Shyamal Bhutani, Executive Director, Mr. Parag Satoshkar, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Girish Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Kiranpreet Gill, Company Secretary. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Dharmil Bhutani to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good afternoon, everybody. It is a pleasure to welcome you all to the earnings conference call to discuss the results of the quarter and half year ended September 30, 2022. Thank you for joining us today. During the quarter that has gone by, we have seen the first signs of easing in input costs, and this is welcome news. The sustainability of this trend in context of the current global geopolitical situation needs to be closely watched. During the quarter, the company has witnessed a healthy demand in fragrance, flavors, and the camphor business. Specialty aroma ingredients and terpene chemicals have seen a bit of softening of demand due to overstocking of the materials in the supply chain. However, the forecasting for H1 calendar year 2023 for both these divisions stays strong and in line with the demand in 2022. Production in the fragrance division grew by 9% quarter-on-quarter basis, and the sales volume also increased by 8% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Production volume in camphor and terpene chemicals divisions reduced by 4% on quarter-on-quarter basis, primarily due to the preventive shutdown at the Bareilly plant in July 2022. Production volume in the specialty aroma ingredients stood at the same level as compared to the previous quarter, but the sales volume dipped by 13% due to the delay in delivery of shipments based on the request of some of our global customers. This has resulted in a pileup of inventory of finished goods at the manufacturing plants. However, we are glad to inform you that these delayed shipments have now begun, and the customers have given a commitment to pick up all their contracted material by the end of 2022. The weakening of the Indian rupee against the US dollar has impacted the input costs for imported raw materials, thereby further impacting the profitability of the local sales, especially in camphor and in the F&F division. The camphor pricing has been under pressure due to the change in the competitive landscape. However, we at Oriental Aromatics are holding our prices in the local market to ensure profitability. In the fragrance division, the increased input costs have already been factored in for the new projects, and for the old projects, we have created a pass-through plan where we will be gradually passing the increase in prices to our customers over the next three quarters. We further wish to inform you that we have received a request for quotations from all our global customers for H1 calendar year 2023, and there is no significant drop in volumes in those RFQs vis-à-vis H1 calendar year 2022 volumes. This is against the global narrative talked about in business circles of an impending recession and contraction in demand in 2023. There is, however, tremendous pressure on pricing as the Chinese manufacturers have become competitive due to their currency devaluation and local feedstock availability in China. Regarding the performance of our plants, we are glad to inform you that except for the shutdown of 6 days at our Bareilly plant for routine and preventive maintenance in July 2022, all plants have been running at optimal capacity. There is a marginal dip in EBITDA for this quarter, which is at 6.61% as compared to 7.06% in the previous quarter. The primary reason for this marginal correction can be attributed to the consumption of high-cost inventory of alpha-pinene, which was consumed in this quarter. Inability to pass through price increases to customers in the fragrance division and delayed shipments to customers in the specialty aroma ingredients division has resulted in inventory pileup. We continue to invest heavily in new projects. Free cash flow for the first half of the year was minus INR 28.4 crores. The primary reason for the cash flow number is the higher working capital requirements in H1 2022-23 and additional investments in ongoing projects compared to financial year 2021-22. In the current quarter, our gross margins were 28.9% as compared to 32.4% in the last quarter. We stay committed to work on our gross margins and improve it going forward. However, the competitive landscape in some of our key products like camphor might make it difficult to achieve that immediately. The specialty ingredients division and the FNF division will be the main drivers for taking up the gross margins in the coming quarters. The CapEx plans for all our expansion projects in the group are going ahead in full swing. We are glad that we paused our CapEx plans briefly in Q1 2022-23 due to unreasonable increase in input costs then. Due to this decision of ours, we have saved in some cases almost 7 to 8% in projects costs. Now that we see the prices have stabilized, although at higher levels in some cases, we are focusing on execution and timelines for commissioning of the projects at the earliest. Regarding commissioning dates on the ongoing projects, kindly note that these timelines are mentioned in calendar year format. The hydrogenation plant at Baroda will be commissioned by the end of H1 2023. We will focus on the validation and spot sales in H2 2023, and we will bid for global contracts in H1 2024. The plot development activities at Mahad site will start in the next 15 days as the monsoon is over and the land is ready for plot development. The basic and detailed engineering for the first phase of plans for Mahad is ready and we will shortly begin procurement for the long wait items. We are hoping for a Q3 commissioning of the utility systems and the first plant at Mahad site. The nominal delay of 3 months over earlier guidance is due to certain utility systems that we need for this plant, which has items having long lead times. The Bareilly expansion, which has been completed, is giving us increased volume of certain terpene chemicals, which are now being promoted to existing and new customers, and the response has been very welcoming. Currently, the sales plan is still work in progress, but the production has been validated, which has resulted in high levels of inventory of these materials at our Bareilly site. This will stay at these elevated levels till we get new customer approvals globally. We are going ahead with our debt mobilization program as explained in our earlier calls. Current net debt along with working capital is INR 166 crores. And this will peak at around INR 300 crores in the next 12 months. In spite of minor delays, which in fact have worked in our favor for cost reduction in CapEx, we are confident of achieving our ROI on all new investments at 12 to 15%, and hence recovering our investments in 5 to 6 years. We stay committed to our strategy on developing a sustainable and efficient process for refining CST. We look at our CST strategy as a de-risking tool for our current GTO procurement strategy. We will stick to our understanding that having a CST refinery at best gives us some level of de-risking and a marginal cost advantage. We are also actively looking at bulk commodity ingredients which can be made from alpha-pinene that we will get from our refinery. These include materials like dihydromersinol and materials similar to isoe-super and isoe-super. Now I would like to request Mr. Girish Khandelwal, our CFO, to give the financial highlights. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dharmil. I would like to welcome you all to the conference call. As always, Dharmil has taken you through the business performance of the company and as well as on the market and regional developments. I would like to focus on the operating performance. On a consolidated basis in Q2 FY23, the opening operating income for the quarter was ₹20.8 crore. Which was a decrease of approximately 4.2% on a year-on-year basis and 5.5% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Operating EBITDA reported was 14.6 crore, which decreased as compared to ₹16.5 crore in the previous quarter and ₹19.8 crore in the corresponding quarter. Operating EBITDA margins stood at 6.61% as compared to 7.06% in the previous quarter. Net profit after tax reported was ₹6.3 crore, which decreased as compared to ₹8.4 crore in the previous quarter and ₹12.1 crore in the corresponding quarter. While PAT margins were 2.85%, which was a decrease of 75 bips on a quarter-on-quarter basis. On a consolidated basis in H1 FY23, the operating income for the half year was ₹454.3 crore, which was a decrease of approximately 1.3% on a year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA reported was ₹31 crore, which was decreased as compared to ₹54.2 crore in the corresponding half year. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 6.82%. Net profit after tax reported was ₹14.8 crore. Decreased as compared to ₹34.9 crore in the corresponding half year. While PAT margins were 3.26%, which was a decrease of 433 basis points on a year-on-year basis. During the quarter, our manufacturing and operating cost has gone up by ₹1.6 crore, which is mainly due to the increase in the power cost by 1 crore. On other expenses level, we maintained a tight cost control on operating expenses, which resulted in the lowering of other expenses by ₹3.77 crore as compared to the previous quarter. And on the cash flow performance, the net operating cash flow was -₹10.4 crore as compared to -₹0.81 crore in the FY22. The decrease in operating cash flow is mainly driven by the higher cash investment in the working capital due to the higher trade and other receivables by ₹16.7 crore and higher inventory levels by 19.2 crore as compared to the FY 2022, and also due to the investment in the projects. Debt equity ratio stood at 0.26 from 0.21 as compared to the FY 2022. ROCE for the first half of FY23 stood at 3.29% as compared to 12.5% in the FY22. Thank you all. With this, we can now open the floor for the questions and answers session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star and one to ask a question. We request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any further questions, you may join the queue back. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Praful Siddharth from Shavas Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I just wanted to understand, so out of the total 300 to 350 crore capital...
Your line has been unmuted. Please proceed.
Yeah, able to hear me?
Praful Siddharth from Shavas Capital. Your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Are you able to hear me? Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir. Now we are able to hear you. Please proceed.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I just want to understand, out of the total INR, around 300 to 350 crore capex, how much of it is dedicated to the campus segment?
Parag? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Parag?
Yeah. Primarily, Praful, the capex revolves around the multi-product hydrogenation facility that we are going to put in Baroda. And also the new greenfield project that we are going to put in Mahad. You know, the camphor part of the expansion or capex is very limited, which is only related to certain process re-engineering projects that we are doing in Bareilly, and probably installing a zero liquid discharge system for environmental system.
Got it, sir. Yeah. So my next question is, so we understand that Aroma Chemicals currently contributes around 1/3 to the top line of our company. So I just wanted to understand as to what is the mix between the bulk aroma chemicals and specialty aroma chemicals, and how does the margin profile differ between these two?
So I think we probably look at the bulk and the specialty aroma ingredients together. And we look at the margin profile as a group, and not on individual or splitting them into specialty as well as
market. Okay, sir. And out of the total RM cost, how much percentage of it is alpha pinene and petrochemical derivatives? Any outlook on or any idea on that?
Again, Praful, it would kind of differ from a product to product. For example, in the terpene chemicals division, the contribution of alpha pinene will be substantial, but the moment you get into the specialty aroma ingredients, you would have kind of a completely differential basis of contribution of naphtha, non-naphtha alpha pinene based products. So, you know, it's not uniform across the whole chemicals division, but it kind of depends on the products.
Sure. Okay. So, yeah, got it. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Participants, if you wish to ask questions, please enter star and one to ask a question right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Given the fall in raw material prices that we are seeing currently, when do you think, you know, we can get back to our targeted margins of around 15 to 16%?
So Ankit, we have already for the few quarters coming by, we have kind of revised our guidance in terms of margins from 8 to 10%, point number one. Point number two, I think as Dharmil has mentioned in his speech, although we are seeing the first signs of green shoots where the input prices have started coming down, but I think at the same time, we are also seeing a very aggressive pricing regime coming from the Chinese manufacturers of these products. And so the customer expectations for a price reduction has increased manifold. So now I think we are taking one quarter at a time, and we are ensuring that we kind of manage the shift as efficiently as possible and try to get as close to the guidance in terms of the margins.
Sure. Given the kind of pressure we are seeing from our competitors, especially the Chinese, how do you think the growth will pan out for us for FY24? So, you know, what kind of growth are we expecting for FY24?
So I think what we are observing is that there's no shrinkage in demand based on the quantitative numbers that we have received in the RFQs for calendar year H1 2023. So if that needs to be kind of taken into consideration, we feel that, albeit the pricing pressure, but there will be sufficient demand to ensure that all the plants that we have are running at optimal capacity.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any further questions, you may join the queue back. The next question is from the line of Neha Isnani from Minerva Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is regarding sales. So if you can first of all help explain, you know, by when will the hydrogenation facility give a full year of sales and what is the amount that we are looking at? And the same for Mahad as well. And what will be the peak sales expected from the two, you know, the capex that we are doing at the two facilities?
So I've understood the first question. Can you repeat the second question, please?
So once the CapEx is done and it's fully utilized, mm-hmm. are we still projecting the same revenues that we were historically? That is the question.
On the sales front, in Dharmil, in his opening speech, has already mentioned that we are planning for commissioning the hydrogenation facility by end of H1 2023 calendar, and we will use the second half of 2023 calendar for doing spot sales and the spot sales and getting customer approvals. So to answer your question, the first full year of sales from the hydrogenation facility will be calendar year 2024 or financial year 2024-2025.
Okay, and what kind of sales are we looking at?
So, you know, when we always have given a guidance that when we are doing an investment of between 250 to 300 crores, we are looking at a multiplication factor of 1.7 to the sales. So, you know, we are looking at close to 550 to 600 crores in a very, very conservative way as the top line addition because of these products.
And how will this, and from Mahad, how is this going to be from Mahad?
So Mahad, we are envisaging that we will commission the first phase of or the first phase of plants in Mahad along with the utility block by end of Q3 calendar 2023, and we probably should consider a period of, like I said, between 300 to 500 days for getting the plant validated for production and getting the product validated from the customer. So again, I think if you put it very broadly, we should be looking at 24-25 calendar for even the Mahad sales to really get incorporated in the top line.
Understood. And, you know, just to kind of understand the Baroda facility, the hydrogenation facility, the peak sales of 550 to 600 crores, how many years will it take to ramp up to that?
So, you know, like I said, that since we are in the business of generic products, you know, I think we have an extremely strong projects and an R&D team. I think we always work on the principle of probably the first 1,000 days to really get to optimum capacity in terms of operations of every plant that we build.
Understood. And just one more question on the margins, which you've revised downwards to 8 to 10%. You know, the thought was always that 15 to 16% were your structural long-term margins. So is there like a structural decline in the long-term margins that you are guiding for now? This is your near-term, quite a big dip, so.
Yeah, so Neha, I think it's better to kind of undercommit because what we are seeing is a complete disruption of a steady state situation, which we always talk about. And the envisaged margins of between 15 to 16% were in that steady state, which was pretty constant from 2015 till around 2019. So I think, till we see that some level of a steady state in terms of availability of raw materials, stability of the currency, because we are pretty confident about the demand forecasting. But the remaining factors are the ones which are continuously changing even quarter to quarter over the past 2 or 3 years. So, once we see that stabilizing over a few quarters, I think we probably will be in a position to then look at the guidance that we have given of 8 to 10% and seeing if we can revise it upwards.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. So firstly, wanted to understand, the demand for the specialty aroma chemicals. As Dharmil has alluded in the opening remarks, are we foreseeing demand structurally going down in this recession environment? So are we foreseeing that kind of this thing over next 1 to 2 years, because most of our products are exported? So that we wanted some clarity.
Sure. So Deepin, just to answer your question, since most of our specialty aroma ingredients are used in functional perfumery, which are primarily used for making fragrances for functional products or FMCG products like soaps and detergents, which are day-to-day commodities and which are not items of discretionary procurement, you probably might see changes in preferences globally, where a customer might go from a top brand to a private label just to reduce his household expense down. But I think the use of detergents, the use of things like soaps or shampoos will continue to stay strong. And that is the reason why, as Dharmil has rightly put, that the quantities that we have got for H1 2023 calendar from our global customers are in line with what was there in H1 2022. So, I think we are pretty confident about the demand. We don't see, as of now, any signs of recessionary trends in the products that we sell. However, we see that tremendous pressure on pricing.
Okay, so even clarity on that, demand in line with the previous year. So that means, are we expecting some growth from next year onwards?
Absolutely, because like I said, that if we are going to, the ingredients that we make, which get used in functional perfumery, follow the trends of the CAGR growth of the FMCG product. So, if the detergent business has a CAGR growth, if the shampoo business has a CAGR growth globally, I think we are pretty confident that the use of the aroma ingredients also will probably in one way or the other follow that growth and continue to grow.
So are we confident of getting back to our historical growth rates of 15-20% over, even in terms of medium term, 3 to 5 years kind of this thing? So are we confident of that kind of growth rate?
So, I think it's more like looking in a, in a crystal ball. Like I keep saying that, we need to have some level of stability in terms of a lot of factors, which once they are achieved, I'm sure we will be in a position to achieve the growth that we forecast for our business. The challenge is that there is no stability in a lot of these other factors, which are beyond our control. That kind of keeps us not to promise anything, but to deliver our best in the current circumstances.
Okay. So lastly, on the margins front, so are we seeing this pressure of passing on the inflation effects on raw materials only in terms of bulk aroma chemicals, or even in the specialty set of aroma chemicals we are facing the kind of pressure?
So I think, you know, we have extremely efficient, world-class, sustainable manufacturing facilities. So I think on that front, we are very, very confident in terms of material consumption. But wherever we have competition coming from countries where the devaluation of that country's currency is substantial, and they have the advantage of having a lot of local feedstock, I think we are facing challenges because, you know, you have countries like China where they have a lot of local feedstock and their currencies have corrected to the extent of 12 to 14%. So, you know, there is this 12 to 14% straight advantage for them in terms of a price betterment opportunity which they can offer to the customer. So that puts the pressure on the margin, but we are countering that in our way as well in terms of better procurement and also better conversions.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any follow-up questions, you may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Vanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dharmil and Parag. Good afternoon. The first question I have is, so I think you mentioned the incremental capex, very less capex will go towards camphor, and it's mainly for process improvement. So currently our mix is one third each, you know, fragrances, aroma chemicals and camphor. So once the capex comes on stream and the peak revenue is realized, the proportion of camphor will go down significantly. Is that the right understanding?
So I wouldn't probably mention significantly. I think we have done our calculation, but we have done our calculations, but you know, what we are trying to do is we are also trying to juice up and find out how much more capacity can we take out of our Bareilly plant by process re-engineering. So, you know, with minimal investment, we would try to focus on doing incremental increase in our capacities of camphor and other terpene chemicals. And so, yes, the objective will be probably to have a little more contribution by the specialty aroma ingredients and the hydrogenation products going forward. But there wouldn't be a significant drop in terms of the contribution by camphor and turmeric.
Okay. Second question is to Dharmil. I think you mentioned that we expect, 12 to 15% return on invested capital, for the new capex that we are doing. So is this with underlying margins of 15 to 17% that we were thinking about, or it's with much lower margin that we'll still be able to get to 12 to 15%?
I mean, our target goals are 15 to 17, as we have said in our previous guidances. With the current uncertainty, we, including the new product expansions that we are doing, we're going to look and stay within the same guidance of 8 to 10. And in terms of the exact calculation and based on what we see in terms of recovery on our capex, there could be a contribution in that range of 12 to 15 percent. And these are guidances.
No,
yeah.
The only question is, I mean, are we, my question is that if that 15 to 17% goes to, let's say, the structurally to 12 to 13%, will the new capex still make sense?
Yes.
So, Girish or Parag, go ahead.
Yeah, so primarily, Vanil, to answer your question, I think we've done multiple scenario calculation of the reduction in profitability and the ability to maintain the ROI of 12 to 15%, resulting in 5 to 6 years return on the investment that we are doing. And in multiple scenarios, it will be a dream scenario to really get to those 15-16% margins. But even at extremely conservative levels of margins, we will be in a position to justify the investment and recover the investment within 5 to 6 years.
Right. Okay. So basically, if we go back to 15 to 17%, our IRR may be much better than what we are saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. The last question is, so we've been tracking our company for a long time. One thing that was always stood out was the product diversification. You know, we did not have any product concentration. And despite that, in a tough environment, our margins have seen a sharp decline. So generally, I can understand that in a company where the product concentration or customer concentration is pretty high. But is this pricing pressure across all the products, or, you know, is it that the camphor pricing is the only contributing factor? We are still trying to figure it out. So if you can help us understand that part.
So I think to answer your question, Donil, the price pressures, honestly speaking, are across industries. You know, so although I think we are much better off because we probably have a very interesting diversity of products, where in some products, like Dharmil has mentioned in his opening remarks, where we have seen increase in sales, increase in production in the fragrance and flavor side of the business. So I think it gives us a tremendous amount of ability to hedge some products where the competitive landscape is becoming a little complicated, and we need to be a little aggressive there. So I think the margin pressures are not limited only to the camphor side or to the aroma ingredient side or to the fragrance and flavor side. But the margin pressures, if you look at the numbers today of all the companies, they are across the board. Because all of us started this quarter with a higher level of inventory. We consumed that high level of inventory. Then there was a softness in demand because there was overstocking of inventories all across the world, all across the products. You know, so I think a lot of situations are kind of getting declogged. Having said that, we need to be mindful that there are new situations which are arising. You know, because in Q2 or Q1, nobody was talking of price reduction. Everybody was still talking about material availability. Now people suddenly in one quarter have started only talking about price. The whole concept of China plus one, etc., now is actually put in a drawer by the buyer because he's getting some fancy pricing from the China. So I think the diverseness of the product portfolio gives us a much better opportunity. So it's a big advantage rather than a disadvantage. And we are trying our best to kind of recover from it. If we were just concentrated on camphor, the impact would have been much severe.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajat Sedia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead. Rajat, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to check one thing about the hydrogenation plant. Does this enhance our production capabilities in a way that, you know, we can win new clients and overall our capabilities are much higher than what we used to, and we can make more complex products or higher margin products, or it is just another capacity expansion program wherein we will be making more of new products or the same products?
So hydrogenation as a chemistry is a completely new chemistry that, although we handle 28 different chemistries, we've never had global capacities for this particular chemistry. So it kind of puts us in a completely different bucket or compartment, point number one. Point number two, definitely it gives us the ability to increase the basket of products that we can offer internally to our fragrance and flavor division, which then can create even more valuable fragrance and also to our global customers. So I think to answer your question, the hydrogenation facility definitely ticks on all the boxes which you know, which are needed for our future growth.
So in terms of like our competitors, how many players would be having such kind of capabilities, or is it like, if you can just help me understand this aspect?
No, so hydrogenation as a chemistry, you will have a lot of players who would probably be having the capabilities to handle that chemistry. But the basket of products that we envisage to make at that plant, along with the existing basket of products, is something which probably very few companies in the world will be in a position to offer on in a long-term sustainable way. So that's our play.
Sure, understood. So what will be the top three clients contribution to our revenues today, and how was that, let's say, 3-4 years back?
So I don't have the exact numbers with me. I will probably if you can reach out to our IR team or Girish, he can probably give you that information. But broadly, I think from a philosophical standpoint, we ensure that none of our single customer is contributing more than 10% to our top line.
So this will hold true even today, that none of the customers is above 10%, right?
No. Yes.
Understood. And just one clarification with regards to Baroda plant. I think you mentioned sales will begin from FY25, hydrogenation plant.
No. The spot sales will begin from H2 2023. And the global sales should start from H1 2024 calendar. But somebody wanted financial year, so I said 24-25 financial year is when you will have one full year of sales.
Global. And in terms of when you say sports sales, so that would be domestic probably. So, do they differ a lot in terms of margins, sport and global sales?
No, they don't. And when I say spot, I say spot local as well as global. Because there's a lot of mid-sized fragrance companies who have relatively shorter cycles of approval. Where they are more keen to really start buying immediately. So when I say spot, probably, we are looking at combination of local as well as global. And I think in terms of margins, in terms of pricing, we're seeing that different blocks have different pricing strategy. The US market has a different pricing strategy. The LATAM has a different pricing strategy. India has a different. So it's kind of not a uniform pricing strategy which could be or margin expectation which could be laid out for the whole world.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Pradhan.
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you all for participating in this earnings con call. I hope we've been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, we would be happy to be of assistance. We are thankful to all our investors who have continued to stand by us and also have confidence in the company's growth plans and focus. And with this, I wish everyone a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Oriental Aromatics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.